So in Revelation, turn again to chapter 9. We look every week at the purposes of this book and our approach to it, so don't lose sight of the fact that the book of Revelation is where it is to encourage believers during times of intense persecution, also remind us that God is in complete control of all events of the future. And where we left off last week, in chapter 9, we're going to pick up there today. Let's start reading in verse 1 and give us a running start into this. As we do that, don't forget the context and where we have been. We are in the middle of seven trumpet blasts of judgment, and we've looked at four to this point: the effect on the earth and vegetation, on the seas, on the sources of fresh water, the moon, sun, stars being darkened, and then where we are in chapter 9 is on something called a bottomless pit with an army of deacon locusts out of hell, basically. So we read this last week. We're going to do so and run back into where we left off. So verse 1, John, as he receives the information there in the vision in heaven, he says, "After the four trumpets had sounded, the fifth angel sounded. And when that fifth angel sounded, I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit of the abyss, the abode of the demons." And that star, probably a person of some sort, opened the bottomless pit. There arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. It was commanded them that they would not hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing or any tree, which is odd because that's what they feed on, vegetation. They're not going to harm vegetation, but only those men, those people who do not have the seal of God in their foreheads. And to these locusts was given that they should not kill the people, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as a torment of a scorpion when he strikes or stings a person or a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and they shall not find it. They shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And then in verse 7, where we started last week, he describes what these locust demons look like. And it is quite a difficult and really difficult to understand with the description. So he says that the shapes or the appearance of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. On their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. Now notice what he does starting in verse 7 and through where we're going to go today. As he describes these locusts, these demons, he starts with the head and moves down to the tail. Okay, he's going to give you kind of a little bit of a segment-by-segment description. He says also in verse 8, looking at the head, that the hair, they had hair, which is enough, isn't enough in itself to kind of make you wonder what's going on, but the hair was as the hair of women. Their teeth were like teeth of lions, and that's where we left off last week with that kind of that ferocious nature of a lion with these types of teeth. But then he goes on in verse 9 with the description and says, "And they also had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron." Now, this is on a locust being, right? Little locusts aren't all that big, and he notices that there's like armor on these locust beings. The sound of their wings as they would flap the wings was to John like the sound of chariots of many horses that are running into a battle. And they had tails, and as moved down from the head, face, the midsection with the breastplates, and now to the very end with the tail. And he says they had tails like a scorpion. And there were stings in those tails, and their power was to hurt men, hurt people for 5 months. And then he says they had a leader. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue or language has the name of Apollyon. And then John summarizes and says, "One woe is now past after these demonic beings." And behold, there's going to come two more woes hereafter. So let's go back to verse 9. We talked about the description of these locust beings rising up from an abyss, from a bottomless pit. And John is trying his best to describe what he saw. Nowhere does he give you the symbolism. Like, do the faces stand for something? Does the hair stand for something? Do the teeth stand for something? He's just telling us what he saw in this vision. And then he gets from, when he moves on from the head, he starts to move further down that little tiny locust body. It talks about some body armor that the locust has. So we read in verse 9 that there were breastplates on the locust. Now, I don't know exactly what that is to symbolize, but if you think about a breastplate armor, it almost screams out at us in kind of some invulnerability, right? There's something about these locusts, these demons that you're not able to attack, not able to conquer. So there are breastplates as if they were iron themselves. And, you know, this almost, I know it's not, but almost makes me think about like a bulletproof vest on a locust, right? Bullets can't even penetrate. This is the invincibility we're dealing with these beings. And you think about that, you kind of picture yourself standing there in front of these beings, and you don't really have a prayer, right? There's something really, really odd going on with these. And then he heard a sound. So he can see the breastplates, like body armor, bulletproof vest, if you will, on these little locust demons. And then he says, when they would flap their wings, the sound of the wings in motion was like the sound of chariots, as if there's horses, chariots, and they're just marching and running into battle. A terrifying sound of battle. I don't know what John must have been thinking at this point. We know that locusts make noises, and when they appear upon the land, you can see like the clouds of these pretty large insects, and you can hear the sounds that they make, sometimes from the wings and others. It's like, it's really crazy. But John says, when I heard the sound, it reminded me of like horses that are rushing into battle, wave after wave, and the chariots, and this rumbling is what it sounded like to John. And he seems to imply in verse 9 that they couldn't be stopped. They couldn't be outrun. You're not going to stand up before these and think that they're just going to like fall down before you and say, oh, sorry, we didn't mean to come your way. It's not going to work in that fashion. There's no place to hide from these locusts. And then in verse 10, he switches to the very back end of these little demonic beings and says that, speaking of their tails, and we saw that earlier, I think in verse 5, their tails are like that of a scorpion, the stinging. He says, yes, they had tails in what I saw, and the tails were like scorpions. Now, I will point out one little tiny grammatical thing in verse 10. I don't think it means a whole lot, but if you have a more, I would say a better translation with the Greek here, in verse 10, the verb switched from the past to the present tense. Now, it doesn't in this translation, but in newer, modern, a little bit better translations, it switches to the present tense there, so they have tails. I don't know the significance of that, but since we're covering Revelation from verse 1 to the last verse, and we're doing it right, I'm just pointing out that little detail. So they've got tails, he says, like scorpions. So now as we describe these demonic beings, we're kind of dealing with part locust and part scorpion. Okay, again, how do you draw a picture of a demon? Most of us would not come up with the idea of a locust with a scorpion tail. We wouldn't even think about that, but that's what John saw in this vision. So he says they had tails like scorpions have, and on those tails, as you might expect, were stings, some kind of a stinger. And he says that their power, the authority they are given, is to hurt. Now notice, not to kill, but to torment. Okay? Great tribulation, the wrath of God upon the peoples, earth dwellers, those who don't know Christ. It's not to kill and put them out of misery, but it is to torment them. And he says that the torment, as best I can understand the text, is going to last for a period of 5 months. The sole purpose of these demonic beings is to torment the lost people who turn away from God on the earth and do not ascribe to faith in Him. So now, let's think about this for a minute, and I don't know the best way to do this. Are these literal scorpion locust demons? Or are they symbolic of something else? I don't know the answer to that question. Last Sunday, after we were done, Evan shared with me that this is a neat interpretation, but probably a wrong interpretation. But he says, anytime I've heard anybody talk about these little demonic scorpion-type locusts, he says everybody always wants to attach them to some kind of weapons of warfare. And he says, every time I've heard someone describe this passage, they always interpret it as basically a horde of helicopters in battle. And they draw some connection, right? You've got the armor there, the faces of men in the cockpit. And he says, every time I've heard somebody talk about this, they always attach it to helicopters. And he said, I've never felt that was right. And I said, Evan, I don't think it's right either. There's no interpretation here. We don't know what these beings are. All we know is that John saw what looked like locusts rising from hell itself, and they've got the stinging tail of a scorpion, and they've got faces and all kinds of grotesque description here, and there's some kind of demonic beings rising up from a literal hell and making basically a hell on earth. So let's think about it for just a minute. If these are not symbolic and are not metaphorical for some kind of means of battle, which I'm not saying it's not going to be, but it doesn't say that, then think about this literally, what people would see out in their backyard that morning. If you were to wake up, and I don't know, you should have something to eat in the morning that's preferably kind of healthy to get you going. We call that breakfast. And I'm a big fan of that, by the way. I'm a three meals a day type person, right? Breakfast needs to be there, lunch at noon, supper 5:36. I can't help it, just the way I am. I don't know how y'all think about that, but it's in the Bible somewhere. I think. Probably in Proverbs 32. Somewhere there. Okay. So let's think about this for real. Let's try to lay this thing out. You get up, okay, you're a lost person, earth dweller, which means lost people that don't know Christ, and you're going to experience the wrath of God, right? You're not sealed for it. And you wake up one morning, and you sit at your table, and you've gone into the refrigerator, and you've got out your milk, and maybe your raisin bran, or oatmeal, or whatever it is. You know, slap a Pop-Tart and a toaster. Those aren't healthy, but they are good. But you've got something there, you know, worked up for breakfast. You sit down at the table. And you look out the window like you do every single morning. Some mornings you look out the window and it's like, man, I'm kind of liking these windows. And you look out the window, it's like clear outside, sun is shining, everything's nice and quiet. Other times you look out the window and it's dark outside and it's breezy and you see rain starting to fall. You're like, man, it's just going to be one of them rainy days. I'm going to have to get an umbrella, just get wet. You know, it's like, you know, you're looking out the window, but this day you look out the window and you look across the yard and you see something out there in the yard that you ain't never seen before. And it's like, what in the world? You take your Pop-Tart, one more bite, say, man, that raspberry is pretty good. And you put it back down. Or the s'mores. I like the s'mores, by the way. But anyway, they are. They are good. And you heat them up. It's even better. But so you look out there and you take a bite. It's like, what in the world? And your brain starts thinking, it looks like midget horses flying through the air. And you know, now you're going to go to the window, right? And get a little bit closer, like, what in the world is that out there? And here's what happens. And this is what's going to make your blood run cold. You look up there and realize that it's like some kind of a midget horse thing. But when one gets close enough, because this swarm is coming your way, right? And when one gets close enough to the window, it raises its head and looks back at you, and you see a human face. Your blood runs cold. You either pass it on the spot or you take off running. And as you look, now you're seeing like hair that any, like a typical lady would have, a flowing hair. And it's like, what in the world is going on here? And then you look closer at this thing. It's staring at you in the window. And you see teeth that are like fangs hanging off of a locust. And it's got body armor. You take off running. I mean, you're going to be scared out of your wits, right? Now imagine, this is what John saw. As God is revealing to him, when the seals are broken off the scroll, it leaves a trumpet blast. And John says, listen, the first four trumpet blasts were affecting the earth in creation. The sea and the sources of fresh water and the vegetation and the sun and moon. But he said, now the very first woe in the fifth trumpet is sounded. And when I looked out there, I saw what looked like horses, and it sounds like they're marching to battle, and you can't outrun them, and you can't avoid them, and they're coming just for you. Imagine the chaos on this earth, and there's going to be a lot of chaos prior to this point, but imagine now when the fifth trumpet sounds, and we've got this demonic horde from hell itself taking the form of locust and tormenting every single person that is stung. That's what John is dealing with. Then we get to verse 11. Because we got to wonder where these things come from. So he tells us they've got a leader. Verse 11, he says they had a king over them. This is what he was told in this vision. And he tells us that the king over them really is an angel of the bottomless pit. Now, we're not going to get to angelology this morning, but Satan was created as an angel. Okay, he falls from the favor of God. He's going to be like God. And as best we can tell, he is basically kicked out, ejected out of heaven. He's got at least, I'm assuming, about a third or so of the angels go with him. They become the demons. And the Bible says when this horde of demons rises up from bottomless pit, they've got a king. They've got a leader. Now, it looks like to me in verse 11, that leader is probably Satan himself, the king of the abyss. Now, it may not be. It may be a whole separate angel that's got that duty of being the leader of the bottomless pit. It may be, but it sure does sound like it could be Satan himself. And then we're given in this verse two particular names to describe this king of these demonic locusts. First of all, if you speak in Hebrew, you're given the name of Abaddon. The word Abaddon basically means destruction. It sometimes is used to refer to Sheol, the place of the dead, right? We don't all the way understand in an Old Testament mindset what happens to the deceased, so it must just be a place where they kind of experience destruction. Now, we know later in biblical revelation that's not exactly true, but in their thinking, Sheol, place of destruction, Abaddon. That's his name. But then he says, if you are of the Greek language in the New Testament, then you'll recognize that his name is Apollyon or Apollyon. That word means destroyer. Now here's the bottom line. Whoever this king is, this ruler is of these demonic beings, his name in essence means destroyer. And last time I checked, Satan only exists to deceive and to destroy. Right? So he's got basically a horde of demons. There's a king over them. We learn about the king in verse 11. And now it looks like the purpose of this locust plague is to bring about kind of like a widespread spiritual agony and destruction. Now, physical torment very likely may be the case. But I'm going to tell you this. If you've been in a place in life where your mind is not working right, okay, we sometimes call that mental illness, and we deal with issues of the mind. You might agree with me that psychological and mental agony sometimes is more painful than the physical. And now we're dealing with a horde of demons. It may very well be a physical torment, but at the very least, Satan is a destroyer of the souls of men. He's out to destroy. He's out to kill. He's out to steal. And he's always done that. And he's still doing that today. So we get to the Great Tribulation. If you're not saved, he sins. It looks like God allows through this demonic horde. He allows and uses Satan, lets the demons be freed from this bottomless pit. And when they are free, they are going to really go on a tear. Destruction. Destroyer. Abaddon. Apollyon. That's what John sees in verse 11 that he relates to us, or relates for us, as part of God's outpouring of wrath upon the earth. Now, how do you quantify this for just a minute? This is hard to imagine. If the demonic has free reign on this earth, like how many demons are there that are going to arise from that bottomless pit? I don't know any way of counting that number. So I want you to think about it like this for just a minute. And I know I just shared this from the guy in the jail, so maybe it connects a little bit. I want you to think about this. What if, and I don't know if we would set a time for this date and all that, but let's just say tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. or daylight saving time right now, whatever we are on. 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. What if, now watch this, what if every set of prison doors in America are open the exact same time, every murderer is on the loose, every rapist is on the loose, every arsonist is on the loose, every abuser is on the loose, and there's nothing anybody can do to stop them. Now, can you imagine the chaos in this country? The jails are emptied, the prisons are emptied, and every single criminal, most violent, right? Most heinous, are free and wreaking havoc where they want and when they want and to whom they want. That is a small scale picture of the demons of hell tormenting and doing what they want. And also think about this. If that were to happen tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., and imagine this, not only is every single convicted criminal, we're talking like serious, serious criminals, every single one is freed and let go, and they've also got a leader. One that's orchestrating and guiding everything they do. That's what John sees in verse 11. There's a leader, there's a king of these demonic beings, and his name is Destruction. His name is Destroyer. And then we get to verse 12, and here's what John says. After he received this image, this vision of the fifth angel sounding the trumpet, the bottomless pit, smoke rising, these little demon locust type midget horses tormenting people, then he says, one woe is now past. Now remember back in verse 13 of chapter 8, John says that an angel or maybe an eagle is flying through the midst of heaven and says, woe, 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 three times. And that eagle says, you need to be in woe because of the other voices or blasts of the trumpets. There's three woes here. John says, after number five with the trumpet, one woe is now past. Showing us that the woes come in consecutive order, right? We can count them. Number one, he says it's past. And there's what he says. Behold, now watch this. There's two more woes coming hereafter. In other words, the worst is yet to come. Unimaginable devastation. Spiritual devastation during the days of tribulation. At first, it affects the vegetation, creation. Now it's turning and affecting mankind more directly. And the very first woe with trumpet number five is one that looks like it involves demons rising from hell, stingers that torment those who do not know Christ. Physical torment, possibly. Spiritual, psychological torment, possibly. But the point is, the one behind it all, his name is Destroyer. His name is Destruction. And John says, now we've got through one of the three woes. Now next week, we'll start in on the sixth trumpet. Woe number two. And it's going to take us at least 2 weeks to get through that one. So here's what I'm going to give you as we close. And you have heard this so many times. I don't know how many more times I'm going to put this up here. But I hope when you look at the judgment of God, righteous judgment of God upon a wicked world, it ought to encourage you. Right? You keep doing what's right. Sometimes you're going to get punished for doing what's right. You keep doing what's right. Okay, God knows. But it also ought to drive us to evangelism and a concern for the lost. Can't force anybody to believe. We know that. But as opportunities come up and we read what we see in the middle section of the book of Revelation with the tribulational period, as opportunities come up, it is incumbent upon us to tactfully, as best we can, warn people of the wrath of God to come. It ain't a pretty picture. Okay? If I were given this section a title, I would say, it ain't a pretty picture. It's not. But that's what John saw, trumpet number five. Let's bow as we close, as we pray before we go, and as we quiet ourselves before God. I want you to have, again, opportunity before you leave, for prayer and response. Maybe you haven't put your commitment up on the board yet for a little more in 24. And during this time, you could slip out and do it right now. It's fine. Or just before you leave today. Maybe something on your mind to pray about while we're in the church house and before we head back out into the world. I don't know. Maybe something we looked at this morning kind of got you thinking down a particular path that you need to ask God to help with or guide with. Maybe that you know somebody lost. And you know that if right now tribulational period were to occur, they'd be some of the ones experiencing the attack of these demon locusts. You need to pray for their salvation and lift them up one more time, asking for God's favor and mercy upon their soul. And then just in case you're listening right now and you're not saved, it's yet again another opportunity God has given you here at the start of February of 2024 to say yes to the death and burial and resurrection of Christ on the cross, to confess you're a sinner, repent of sin, and by faith trust in what Christ did for you and commit your life to Him. So I'm going to be quiet as we close and give you an opportunity to pray there at your seat or here at the altar. And then I'm going to wrap up our time and our service in just a moment and we'll be on our way. Our God, our Father in heaven, thank you for your word, for the revelation to John of what he saw concerning the righteous and just judgment of God upon the wicked of this earth, and to warn us, but also to encourage us as believers. You've heard today specific prayers that have been lifted up for very specific circumstances of life or maybe particular people. God, would you work? Magnify your name and prove your power in each of these as they've been lifted up. As we go today, Lord, guide and protect in this new week. Oh, we pray to be a good week. May the bright light of these new windows continue in our souls through this week to make us smile more, to make us feel more alive and more excited about living. So give us a good week. Help us to be honoring to you and thankful for our commitments as we go into 2024. Excited to start in on these commitments. Lord, work and bless in individual lives, in homes, and here in this local church. We pray just that you would protect and bless as we go into this week. And we ask our prayer for this in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our Master, and the one who has given us deliverance from all these plagues of this time of tribulation. And we simply say to that, Amen.